Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week on the Screen Verdict podcast, we're going to be reviewing Wonder Woman.
I don't know. I can't remember the music.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I like it.
And who better to review Wonder Woman than two dudes?
Yeah.
We've got all the bases covered. Matt, everybody's talking about Wonder Woman. Everybody's excited for this. I heard a lot of people referring to this as the first female superhero film. I'm assuming they're just ignoring Catwoman. They just refuse to believe that existed. We're just wiping that off the face of the map.
I didn't see it. Was she a hero? I thought Catwoman's a villain.
Good question. I didn't see it either. The reviews were pretty terrible.
This isn't the first ever Superwoman, like, a woman, sorry. This wasn't the first female superhero movie, though, was it? Like, wasn't there, like, isn't there an old Wonder Woman?
Was that a...
I don't know.
Was that a show, or did they do a movie?
I'll check. Wonder Woman. Old. I'll search.
Oh, Wonder Woman old.
There was a TV series. There was a 1974 film, Wonder Woman.
There you go. I didn't think it was. I just think people...
It's a TV film.
A TV film. Well, there you go.
There we go.
Well, Wonder Woman, she's finally made it to a theatrical release. They thought, you're the best thing in Batman versus Superman. We gave them a chance and they failed, so why not you have a crack?
Yes. And crack they had.
Yes, I'm sure there's a Wonder Woman whip joke in there somewhere. We're just, neither of us were quick enough to come up with it.
How do we want to unpack this, Jonathan? Should we do spoilers or not spoilers?
I don't know, I think we've been tending or leaning more towards the spoiler podcast recently. Nobody's complained, because we do give the warning, and it has been out for, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, so I'm happy to do a spoiler podcast.
Let me think, is there anything spoilery that I wanted to talk about? I could probably go either way, so maybe to make it a spoiler podcast, let's do it.
Let's try it. Let's see. Okay. Very good. All right, let's hit him with the spoiler alert. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Woo!
I still don't know what the hell music is anyway.
That music comes on, man. It gets you pumped.
Yeah, you go, like, Wonder Woman, tell you.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's going to punch someone in the face. That's what that music means.
Yeah. So, what... And we maybe should have talked about this a bit before spoiler warning. What were your expectations, Jonathan? How were you feeling about Wonder Woman?
I was pretty keen to see it. I thought she was pretty good in Batman versus Superman, a film pretty much did not really enjoy. I think other people hated it more than me, but I definitely didn't like it. But I thought she was good. I thought maybe it'll be sort of a different perspective, something a bit new for... Because we're getting a lot of these superhero movies these days, and yeah, I do like a bunch of them, but I think it's good to take things in a new direction. I thought maybe Wonder Woman could offer that. It kind of crosses sort of settings, but one of the settings is World War II, and that's something that I'm usually pretty interested in. And Chris Pine, he's a pretty good actor. He can be pretty funny at times as well, so I thought he was a good kind of sidekick for Wonder Woman. So yeah, I was keen to see it.
I was one of the people who hated Batman vs Superman more than you.
Yeah.
But I agree that Wonder Woman was the best thing about that movie. So that had me sort of on board with seeing it. But I'll be honest, I've never loved Wonder Woman, like, as a superhero. And not because she's a woman, because my feelings to Wonder Woman are very similar to my feelings about Superman. It's just like a really powerful sort of person or being or something. Like, it's not like the Batman where there's, like, no superpowers and you've got to see how they, like, sort of figure stuff out sort of thing. So...
You think it's overpowered?
Yeah, she's overpowered. I don't really know much about Wonder Woman. Like, I just think, oh, she's so really like a super a female Superman sort of thing, and I don't particularly like Superman. So I guess I was excited for a female superhero, but this was not particularly the female superhero that I would think I'd get excited about. But before we saw it, like, there was a lot of talk about how good this was. So that made me want to see it more. So it's hard to know, outside of the hype, whether I would have been as excited to see it or whether I even would have seen it.
Hmm. Well, I don't have a lot of history with Wonder Woman. I haven't really read too many comics. So I didn't have too strong an opinion on her just in general as a superhero. But I kind of get what you're saying about Superman. You know, it's kind of like, if it's not competitive if they're too good. You know, it's like if you're coming in first place in Mario Kart and then you pick up 3 red shells. Like, that's just unnecessary. That's that doesn't make for a good race.
Here's my strategy in Mario Kart, and it works quite well in the Wii version of the game. Not the Wii U, but the Wii version of the game. Intentionally start a bit late. Get the bullets or the star or the lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Right? And then I, for the whole first lap, to see how far, like, how much, how well I can do without using it. And then when I get into first or second place, then I use that thing. And it gives you a pretty good lead sort of halfway through the race.
Yeah, you can... I mean, we're delving pretty deep into Mario Kart here, but with the item system, most people, if you're relatively decent at Mario Kart, you're probably going to lead at some point in the race. You just need to time it so it's on that final quarter of the final lap.
Mario Kart that's the is strategy. Pretty much a game of lap 3. Like, you have a good third lap. I do like to, when I'm in first, go, I need to be a blue shell in front of second. I need to be able to take a blue... Anyway, we're getting a bit sidetracked. We're a bit of a tight time limit for today's podcast.
This week in our Wonder Woman / Mario Kart podcast. Wonder Woman. How does it kick off? How does it start? Because I'm pretty sure this isn't Earth, or at least it doesn't appear to be Earth. When we get there.
Yes, so... Well, it starts in Earth, where Wonder Woman goes into, like, Bruce Wayne's bank, or something like that, with a briefcase, and she goes into a safe where there's a whole lot of different artifacts and things, a vault or something, and Bruce Wayne has given her a photo of her with a motley crew of sort of soldiers or something, and we saw that in Batman vs Superman, I believe, that photo. And he's found the original copy of it, and he's sort of left her a note saying, "Love to hear your story one day." Then it flashes back to her as a kid in this sort of planet. I felt like a bit like Superman, you know, type world, like everyone's sort of dressed in sort of olden day clothes, but there's sort of, gladiatorial sort of gear, but they're clearly got more powerful than humans at the same time. And, yeah, I saw it with your friend Dutchy, or our friend Dutchy, sorry, the movie.
He's
and
mine.
And it both took us a while, like, at some point it both clicked for us, the whole movie's a flashback. We're not going back to that vault till the end of the movie.
Yes. It's kind of an interesting balance, because if you spend... a lot of time in the present day, but the majority of the film is in the past, then the present day stuff's kind of a waste of time. Whereas if you only spend a minute in the present day, you think, what's the point at all? Just cut everything. But then if you cut everything, then there isn't the tie-in to the current series, because this is, you know, part of their whole DC Justice League ongoing sort of franchise, so they're a little bit between a rock and a hard place. I am okay with how they pulled it off time-wise. I think they devoted, as much time as they needed to that, and then moved on.
I think Wonder Woman was very smart in sort of going, people didn't love the Batman vs. Superman thing. Let's stay as far away from that character as possible for as long as possible. let's tell my story before these guys enter the picture. They'll just ruin the movie. So, yeah, that was good. I also liked having the photo and then you see where the photo, like, comes into play. I liked that also.
So we get to see them on, or get to see her as a kid on the island of Themyscira. I'll be honest, reading that, that's not how I would have guessed it was spelled, based on listening to it in the film. So I'm glad I didn't have to Google that. It was just already there for me in the Wikipedia article.
Perfect. she's getting trained by Claire Underwood.
Yeah, if you have seen House of Cards, would be no surprise to see Robin Wright in charge of the military or the soldiers, leader on the battlefield, because she is pretty ruthless. She's quite the badass. So I definitely believed her as the general or whatever her position was. And so that's always fun when you see the cute kid wanting to learn something that they're not supposed to learn. You go, no, you need to be disciplined. And then after a while they go, okay, you cheeky scamp, we'll let you do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so they train her. There's some backstory about her. They're not telling her the full story about her origin story. They think it would be dangerous if she knew the truth and yada, yada, yada. there's something about Zeus being her dad and something, I don't know, Zeus creating the women. I don't know, there's some mythology to it, which I was fine with, but I didn't love it. And I sort of always find it a bit weird that we're talking about people like Zeus and stuff in Batman's universe. Like, Batman does not seem like a particularly religious figure, and it's sort of weird that he lives in a world that, no, it just was definitely created by Zeus and gods and things like that.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this in our Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 podcast, in that we're totally fine with people having superpowers because it's a superhero movie, but then it kind of got into this kind of fantastical, supernatural, godlike territory, which is okay, but it's kind of like balancing the two. You know, one kind of seems, you know, even too powerful compared to a superpower. And that kind of came up a little bit in this film as well with, you know, these are gods or demigods with, like, Zeus and Ares. And that wasn't my favorite part of the film. Like, my favorite part of the film was kind of focusing on Wonder Woman and then her interaction with the World War II scenario. The mythological stuff, I don't know. I only sort of half bought into it.
Yeah, it worked well with this film, and largely because it was, like, I think it would have been harder if you got Batman and Superman and that, like, the whole, like, modern. I think as a sort of flashback movie, it sort of worked okay. I was comparing it less with the sort of real world that we live in today. So a plane crashes into their island sort of area. And the thing I found interesting about this was I thought it was like a force field that no one could enter their island. But it turns out it's just like a foggy mask, like, hiding it. And just anyone can go into their island if they just, like, cross it. There's no, like, either it was like a defense sort of system. It's just a complete, it's just a masking agent.
Yeah, it's like an invisibility cloak.
Cloak, yeah.
I guess the world's a big place. Not too many people had strayed into, no one has strayed into it, but their territory before.
Plane goes into that bit of sky.
Yeah, well, in their defense, at that time, it wasn't as easy to get around. You know, planes were pretty new. Most of the time, people had been going on boats. There weren't people, you know, zipping back and forth in boats back in the day. Now with planes and the newer technology, I guess you're more likely to come across the hidden island.
You're like 12-year-old kids' drones, like, zipping in there and stuff.
So let me see. This says 1918. Was this World War One or World War Two?
I think it's World War One, Jonathan.
Oh, I don't like it anymore.
I was going to correct you earlier, but I thought I could be wrong. They didn't have SWAT stickers. I think that's the big.
Yeah, but people are getting pretty PC these days. People are very up in arms that the new Call of Duty World War Two. There's no swastikas in the multiplayer. People are very... They think that's inauthentic. We want swastikas.
Yeah. You don't want to be the people at the head of the meme on that, do you? Like, the... forefront of that debate. I'd be very... If I thought they should have them, I'd be very quietly going, yeah, I guess, like, make it authentic, but I wouldn't be leading the campaign or writing the letters for that.
What do we want? Swastikas. Why do we want them? Historical accuracy. What do we want? Swastikas.
Anyway, so he crashes and she saves him, and then all the German ships come and he's going, they're the Germans! Quick! Hide or whatever. And there's this pretty cool fight. Claire Underwood dies and he's stolen a book from the Germans.
Yes. Just to defend my own intelligence, I did think during the film, there's like the Great War. This is World War One, but I'm pretty sure I'd been told beforehand that it was World War Two. So that was what confused me.
Okay, that's fine.
There we go. Successfully/not so successfully defended myself. But yes, that's what happens.
It doesn't matter which war. It's the Germans are the bad guys. Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
The stakes are high.
So yeah, that was a pretty good action scene to kind of kick things off. You know that they're going to form an interesting duo. It's like, can this guy be trusted or will the other, what are they, the Amazonian women, will they resent her for trusting this guy? She decides to, and she says, well, why are you here? What's this war? And she kind of comes up with this theory that Ares is making these people fight. Just like in the stories that she'd been told as a child, there's this big war going off in the land of man. And she goes, well, maybe I can help. And so they decide to hit the, what is it, the Western Front?
Yeah. So people raising her aren't keen. They don't want to risk her. And she's a bit of a rebel. And she sort of, you know, breaks the guy out, steals the sword, steals the shield. She gets caught, but they're like, there's no stopping you. Go take him on. Here, have a headband.
So they decide to take a long boat ride. I guess Wonder Woman can't fly or something.
She can jump really far.
She can jump really... I guess that doesn't help if you're on water. If you're on land, you could just hop, skip, and jump across the continent, but across the ocean, I guess. I don't know if that works as well.
No. So they get a boat. They have sort of an amusing chat about sleeping together. He's a nice guy, Chris Pine's character. Like, he's not, like, trying to pull the moves on her or anything like that. He's not taking advantage of her naivete. Like, you know, he's a gentleman.
I thought that was quite a funny scene, but that absolutely killed in the cinema that I was in. That just straight crushed. I thought, man, like, Matt, Chris Rock turned up and is telling jokes. I just can't hear them.
I thought it was, like, amusing. I thought when, like, she's like, do all men have one of those? And they're just on him for, like, the camera's on him for, like, 5 minutes, and then it, like, pans down to the watch. Like, which I thought was sort of funny, but maybe true a little long, but yeah.
Very
but
good.
But she's read a lot of books about sex, so she's not completely, like, I was thinking, oh, Chris Pine can just go, oh, I can show you something else guys can do. But she'd read all the books. Like, she knows what sex is.
Yeah, nothing prepares you more for sex and relationship than the written word.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So they get to... So she wants to take on Ares. She thinks that's the big deal. But for Chris Pine, really, he's thinking, I've stolen this book because, what is it, Dr. Poison, or whatever her name is.
I thought this was a very uncreative, like, villain nickname.
Look, Matt, it's 1918. They haven't had many comic book heroes named already. All the obvious names hadn't been taken yet, so I guess that's what you start with. You start with Dr. Poison.
She makes a lot of poisonous gas. Dr. Poison. In the flesh.
All right, we'll check out it. Let's call it lunch. We came up with a name already. Clock out early today.
She was a pretty good villain, though. I liked her face mask and things. That looked cool.
Yeah, good design. Good. She did seem, pretty creative, pretty evil. And so he says, "Well, I've stolen some information on this. I got to get this to the higher ups. We don't want to get bombed with mustard gas or whatever." So they take it. He tries to go to some kind of council. Higher-up council meeting.
I've just taken Wonder Woman and dress shopping for a good 10 minutes of the movie.
Yes. She looked entirely less conspicuous with her new outfit.
I like that outfit, too. The hat, the jacket, the glasses. I thought she looked sort of cool.
It was a great outfit. I feel like someone should have taken the sword off her before she stepped outside. Like, clearly not carrying a sword is one of the first elements of inconspicuousness.
Why didn't they get a bag for the sword?
Yeah.
I'm sure at those sorts of stores you can get a large bag, and you just spent quite a bit of money on an outfit. I'm sure they'd give you an extra bag.
Yeah.
Not like when I went to Tiffany's in New York and I said to them, could I just have a bag? And they were like, no. You have to buy something. So what's the cheapest thing in your store? Like a mug for $40. It's like, nah, I'm good.
The mug's worth 10, the bag really isn't worth 30.
Yeah, yeah. Some friends told me to get them something from Tiffany's, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get them the bags and give them something cheap in it. Not a $40 worth joke.
Well, maybe this store's bags were overpriced as well.
Yeah. Anyway, so he tries to get the book to the head people. They seem not that interested in it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they are like, how dare you bring a woman into clearly what is only a male-only meeting.
Yeah.
But then, even when they get to talk to, I'm forgetting the guy, but they basically just say, look, we're close to an armistice, don't go rocking the boat. Even if they have poison, don't worry about it.
Yeah. 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 And I thought Wonder Woman had a great speech to them about how, what are you doing? Like, you're not the ones whose lives are at risk. Like, I thought that was a really cool speech that she gave.
Yeah, she is definitely principled, and she's definitely passionate. She says, this is right, what I think is right and wrong, and I don't care who tells me what and who tries to stop me, I'm going to do it anyway. So,
and she made Chris Pine look a bit like a pussy in that scene. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess that's fine. She's like, what are you talking about? Like,
well,
she was like, she reminded me of John Oliver doing one of his, like, segments. Like, what are you saying?
Well, even though that's quite funny, I think, to defend Chris Pine, I think he's more attuned to the nuances of these kinds of things because he gets outside and goes, look, we're just going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you lied? He's like, yeah, I lied. I'm a spy. Like, that's what I do.
Okay, like, I didn't know when to bring this up in our chat, but since you mentioned Chris Pratt being a spy...
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine, yeah, sorry.
It's just funny because that was his sketch on SNL. He's like, I'm Chris Pine, not Chris Pratt or Chris Evans. And they put up pictures of them and they did a song about why he's Chris Pine and what that how that makes him different from the other Chris's.
I like that. But anyway, he was a spy. That was his job, right? And yes. I feel like... like, I thought it was weird that how Wonder Woman could speak so many different languages. And that was sort of a big part. Like, so it was really cool. And I really liked that because that explained why she could speak English to Chris Pine when he arrived, sort of thing. I thought it was a bit weird, and then he goes, oh, you can speak English very well. She's like, I can speak a million languages. I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. I like that. However, I thought it was weird that none of the Germans spoke German. So, like, Chris Pine as a German spy was just doing a German accent, like a sort of average German accent. Like, oh, I was wondering if you could show me your poison.
Was that a poo from the Quickie Mart?
It was my German accent. Oh, Dr. Poison. So anyway, like, I just thought that was weird how there were so many different languages in the film, yet the Germans didn't speak German, and that meant that your American spy pretending to be a German could just do a German accent.
Yeah, you really do... it really does make you question the sort of the logic of that. I guess as long as it's consistent. I swear, what is it... There's a film, I think it's Enemy at the Gates or something, where... You have some people speaking actually in German, some people speaking in English with a German accent, and some of the actors just didn't even try. They're just like, yes, Hans, pass the bratwurst. Like,
yeah. I think it was weird. Like, and I feel like, were there a few German phrases at times? I can't remember, but, like, anyway. So, yeah, it was fine, but that was probably one of my biggest, like, problems with the film, that Germans.
I get what you're saying, but I think you can get away with it in a film with a slightly comedic tone.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. You've probably got to wrap up in about 5 minutes, Jonathan, so let's skip ahead.
Alright, so they get to Germany, and they kind of rally up this ragtag group.
I like any movie that assembles a ragtag group.
Yeah, you got...
The odds next against it. That's always fun.
You got the, what is he, the Singing Scotsman or something? And then the kind of salesy guy, I'm not sure where he's from. Maybe Turkey or... But, kind of the smooth talker. And they go to the Western Front, and they're trying to get to, I guess, where Dr. Poison and the German High Commander or whatever he is. But Wonder Woman says, well, what about these people? And they're like, no, we can't save everyone. And Wonder Woman's like, yes, we can. And so that's a pretty awesome scene where she just runs across the battlefield with the charging the machine gun with her shield up. And
her wristbands, like, ching, ching, ching,
ching, ching, ching.
Yeah, I love that. That was so cool when she got up. I love that bit. I thought, like, for this No Man's Land, though, the guys are pretty quick to follow her and very lucky not to get shot. Yeah. You'd think, like, there'd be some marksman aiming for the other side. Like, I don't think... what army is trained... Okay, when there's a charge, let's all aim for one person.
I agree. Maybe that it was just so bizarre and so distracting. You just see this, you know...
A woman on the...
Red, blue, and gold woman running across the battlefield, and you're just shooting her, and everybody else seems to be missing somehow, or...
She's,
you know,
like a superhero. I guess you do turn all your guns on the superhero. Yeah. And, like, look, it was a no-man's land. I imagine, like, definitely no-woman's land.
It's like, well,
back in 1918, women would have been even more surprising to see a no man's land, I imagine.
Yeah. Any men, no men because they get killed, no women because they're not allowed.
Yes. So, for men, it's a recommendation. Like, and you you're going to get shot. So anyway, that was really cool.
And yeah, that was...
so good.
That was one of the best scenes, and then and they get to the town, and they rescue the town when she leaps through the tower to take out the sniper. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, the Chris Pine remembers when one of the Amazon women jumped on a shield earlier, and he, like, got a metal thing with the other guys, and I'm like, shield! Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, good callback. I'm going to jump on it. Yeah, really cool. And the town loves it. They take the photo. You see where the photo comes from. And then you're like, boy, anyone could die from here on out. And you, all those guys were safe until that photo was taken.
So yeah. From there, they make their way to this big party where I guess all the socialites and higher-ups are going to meet. And from there, they're also going to shoot some what are they, bombs, rockets, missiles, something.
The poison gas, right?
Yeah, the gas to kill people. And at this point, there's been a bit of a disagreement because Wonder Woman's focus is on fighting this guy because she thinks he's like an embodiment of Ares.
Yeah.
Whereas Chris Pine is focused on, no, we just got to stop the gas. Because I'm not going to say it, but I don't know if I really believe this whole, like, mythological god dude guy being the German High Commander or whatever he is.
Do you think you'd be on Chris Pine's side or Wonder Woman's side? Because I sort of feel like Chris Pine's side, but maybe if I've just met this superhero with these superpowers, I might be more open to thinking about a god like Ares controlling the minds of the soldiers?
Ooh, it's a good question, because you would think, no, I don't believe in that. But I also, you know, 2 days ago, wouldn't have believed in this superhero lady that can, you know, jump through buildings. So that would probably open up my thought process a little bit. But it still does make sense to focus on this gas. Well, I guess the key thing is that he doesn't believe that people are inherently good. He thinks that they can be swayed either way and, you know, through certain circumstances, some people are just going to do bad things. Whereas she thinks people are inherently good. And so if she can kill Ares, then that means no one will want to use the gas.
Yes. And I think a good question he asked her at some point is, what if you're wrong? Which I think is always a good question to ask ourselves or to ask when you, what if I'm wrong about this? What will happen if I'm wrong? And I think she's just not open to the possibility of being wrong enough. Where, like, I guess he's going, well, if I'm wrong, we'll still stop the gas and we'll still have a chance to kill that Ares guy.
So she does end up confronting this guy, and of course he has some little gas thing that he inhales from Dr. Poison, because it's got to be a fair fight. He's got to have some kind of superhero if it's going to be an interesting fight between him and Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman is able to take him out, but nothing changes. Unfortunately, the war doesn't stop.
Yeah, I turned to Dutch at this point and said, that was too easy. Something else is happening. Something else has to happen. Dutchie was a bit disappointed because Chris Pine finds a motorbike and he's riding that along to get into the compound. And Dutchie's like, oh, great escape. He's going to jump the fence on the bike. But we never saw that.
Yeah, that's World War II, Dutch. This is World War I, you idiot.
That guy that she kills, I love the scene where she and him danced in the ball. I thought that was a lot of good tension in that scene. Really well written. Anyway, so she kills him, doesn't seem to fix the problem, and then twist, we find it. She was wrong about who Ares was, but right that someone was Ares, but wrong that all the bad came from Ares, correct?
Yes. It was a healthy mix of Chris Pine and Wonder Woman's theories, I suppose. Ares is real. The twist, Sir Patrick, whatever he was, the British guy, is really Ares. Which...
Was he the guy that funded their trip?
He was originally the one that goes, nah, we're not going to do that. And then he meets them at the bar and he's like, okay, guys, I knew you were going to do it anyway. So just go ahead and do it. Just don't get caught.
Yeah. Secretly just wanting Wonder Woman to see how bad the war was, how bad people were. So he'd join, she'd join his side and go, oh yeah, these people are ridiculous.
And
there's a reason that you and I could run the world together.
That seemed unlikely. I don't know. I've only spent an hour and a half with Wonder Woman at this point, but I feel like that's a long shot. yeah, wouldn't that be a twist? It's like you get back to the present day, and then she's just standing next to Ares, looking at that photo, saying, "Oh, we're gonna kill that rascally Superman."
I still can't do it.
I think you're pretty good at it. I encourage it.
Anyway, so she's sort of right about some things, wrong about some things. It means she has to fight Ares, and she does.
I mean, that final fight scene was all right, but there wasn't really any sort of like impending doom or any other consequences or anything. It really just looked like a one-on-one fight, and obviously, you know, Wonder Woman's going to win because she's not dead, you know, 100 years later or whatever. So, I don't know, really it just had to be entertaining in and of itself, and it was fine, but that guy's kind of dorky looking. He wasn't really like that scary a bad guy.
Yeah, that's why he has to get that armor later on in it, just so he looks a bit more menacing.
Yeah, that was pretty devilish. So, yeah, I didn't mind it. I mean, all the effects and stuff were good, but it wasn't really one of my, like, favourite boss fights or anything.
Yeah, it's not the strength of the film, that final scene. It's good. I enjoyed it. But, yeah, and it sort of, yeah, you knew Wonder Woman. Well, I guess even if we didn't see the flash forward, we knew Wonder Woman was going to be the battle. But, yeah, I guess it was missing probably something that the best boss fights at the end of superhero movies stuff. Like, it wasn't, like, the best. But the strength in the film isn't really the end battle, anyway.
No. So, well, she fights Ares, and then Chris Pine, he steals a plane and carries it out, you know, drives it out to, like, flies it out. Don't think you drive planes. Unless they're still on the ground. But he wasn't on the ground. He's in the air. Gets up to a safe altitude or whatever and then detonates the bombs, sort of sacrificing himself, you know.
Dutch is like Dark Knight Rises.
I was thinking of, what is it, like season 3 of 24?
Oh, yeah, where Mason takes the plane.
Did I get the right season?
I think that's season 3. I think that's the first sort of quarter of season 3.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, that made me feel for Chris Pine. I liked him. I thought he was that was pretty heroic. Sad to see him go, but I guess he's you never know. Maybe he jumped out of the plane at the last second and they didn't show it.
Eyes were still.
But it looks like he will not be in the future series.
Which sort of makes sense since, like, the present day is 2016. Like, he probably would have died anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they give him some life extension drugs or something.
I like this, though, that this was sort of... like, this first love of Wonder Woman is always, like, this memory that she's got of him rather than him being someone that we see in all the Wonder Woman movies, which would have gone a bit stale or boring, or they would have had to have relationship drama, or will they, won't they sort of stuff. I like that they just had this amazing adventure. They sort of saved the world together, and she can look back on him in that photo.
Yeah. No, I think it made sense from a story point of view. I guess I was just a little sad because I was a fan of Chris Pine.
Oh, but... yeah, it was a sad moment, for sure. Mm. And he said he loved her and gave her his watch and stuff, and we see she keeps the watch. Yeah, that was good.
So, I mean, that pretty much wraps it up. We see that there's the end of the war, we flash forward to the present day, and I don't know, she just sends Bruce Wayne an email or something. She's like, yes, you're right, it is me, Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Thank you for... thanks for bringing him back, or something really, like, that was a bit... I guess she is a little bit of... she is a bit corny. She's not, like, closed to emotions, Wonder Woman. Like, you know, like, she was real... I really liked her line, like, when the Scottish guy's going, oh, I'm no good at shooting, I've got to, like, you probably don't need me. She goes, well, who will sin for us? And that was really a sweet thing. So she's really got a... Like, she's a really fun, nice character, but not goofy in any way.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. She's kind of... She's just very open and honest. So, you know, things that from other characters might sound corny, they sound believable from Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
Well, there you go. Let's give it a verdict.
I like it.
Wonder Woman. I thought it got off to a great start. I really loved the kind of new setting that we were introduced to. I thought Robin Wright was great as the general. I really like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman and how her character developed throughout the film. I loved her relationship with Chris Pine. I thought it was great when they met up and then sort of set out on this mission together. I thought it kind of slowed a little bit in the second half. I don't know how long the film is, 2 hours, 20 minutes, something like that. They probably could have cut 20 minutes out of it, in my opinion. And some of the stuff with Ares wasn't really all that interesting or satisfying. That didn't hook me as much as the other elements of the film. But overall, yeah, really strong characters, great dialogue, couple of great moments of action, and I'm looking forward to seeing Wonder Woman in future films. I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10.
Nice. I'm trying to think. With Wonder Woman, I feel like it wasn't a perfect film. Like, the German thing bugged me a little bit. It was a bit long of a movie. Things drawn on a bit. They could have cut some stuff out. The villain wasn't particularly, like, an iconic villain that I'm going to remember, and the big fight scene at the end wasn't the best. But this was just a really, really, I thought, good superhero movie. This is one of the best superhero movies I've seen in quite a while. I thought Gal Gadot, right?
I believe so. Let's go with that.
Incredible. Like, she was so good. I just wanted to keep watching her as much as possible. it's just fantastic. Like, she was nice and strong, and, like, just everything you want in a superhero. So she was great. I like the story. I like the motley crew that was assembled to sort of go against the odds. It was a really nice self-contained movie. I liked how it didn't tap too much into the rest of the DC universe, like, so it could just stand on its own really well. Yeah, I really like this. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Nice. Well, there you go, Wonder Woman. Pretty good, pretty good score there.
Yeah, pretty good score.
And just wrapping up, trying to keep this podcast neat and tidy.
Dinner's getting cold.
Dinner's getting cold.
Picked up to you last night, Jonathan. After the movie, we grabbed salads.
Salads. Dutchie's on that health kick at the moment. Is he getting you into it? Getting you on the greens?
I hear you're his personal trainer at the moment. You've got a good regimen for him and stuff.
Well, what's funny is that I've been encouraging him to sort of follow these sort of basic health guidelines, whereas Dutchie's advice to me was the complete opposite. Dutchie's trying to get me to put on weight. He's trying to make me less healthy.
Okay, is this Dutchie's mind? If he gets a bit fitter and you get a bit less fit, you're like even out? Like, is this...
Well, this is Dutchie's logic, right? Tell me what you think of this. So I said, I think I'm going to start eating particularly healthy the next month or two. So I'm feeling really good, looking really good for wedding photos, honeymoon photos.
Dachi, oh, okay, yep.
So that was my line of thinking. And Dachi goes, nah, man, you got to eat like crap. You got to look terrible in those photos. So when you and Bonnie look back at them photos 20 years from now, she can't accuse you of letting yourself go.
Okay, I thought it was going to be a so like you don't think, oh man, I look so good back then. Like, it's more sort of idea. No, I don't want to look good in those photos.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it was me, I don't want to look good in those photos.
Alright, well, let us know at facebook.com/screenvertingpodcast whether I should just get lazy, put on a few pounds before the wedding, or whether you think I should try and get ripped up. Look extra good in those, on the beach in our honeymoon.
Yeah, very good. So we've got, what was I just going to add? I can't remember. So great. Wonder Woman,
and that podcast 199. Next week, podcast number 200.
Cars 3. That's what we're talking about.
Cars 3.
A proposal for you, Jonathan. See what you think. Proposed, not a relationship. Not a
I'm an engaged man.
Yeah. Did Bonnie see Wonder Woman with you?
She did.
Did she like the movie?
She did. She enjoyed Wonder Woman. I don't know what her score would be, but I'd say probably similar to us. She definitely enjoyed it.
It's like, and I don't want to like say this is a token sort of thing, but I was going to say it anyway. People can take it how they want to. Like, it's so good, and it's not an original thought, but like really great to see a film starring a female, directed by a female, like, you know, being so successful.
Yeah, I think in terms of, you know, rating it, scoring it, I think that doesn't play a part, whether it's male lead or a female lead, it's either a good film or a bad film.
Yep.
But just sort of in general, in you know, for society, I was rooting for Wonder Woman to be successful. And I'm glad that it seems to be doing pretty well.
A lot of people have tweeted, like, I've read this on the internet, so this isn't my thought, but it's like, it's a real step forward for women when they can make a bad superhero movie and they'll still make more of them.
We'll see.
Unfortunately, Wonder Woman is not that bad superhero movie.
They'll have to bomb the second and see if they get given a third.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, when they start bringing Batman and Superman into these movies, I'm a bit worried.
Well, that typically is the trend. The third in the series always sucks. Is that right? X-Men 3 sucked. Spider-Man 3 sucked. Dark Knight Rises sucked. Iron Man 3 wasn't terrible, but it was a bit of a dip.
I thought 2 was worse than 3, though.
One was definitely the best.
One was the best. Anyway, regardless, we'll see what happens.
in 2 years from now, we'll see if that comes to fruition. But for now, we're focused on Cars 3. Cars 2 was where it all began. That was podcast 1. So we're very excited for Cars 3 to be podcast number 200, and we'll be celebrating by updating our famous Pixar rank.
Yes, I'm so excited. I'll play us out with the Wonder Woman theme.
Don't stop.